homosexuals. We just want to equip you in the culture that we live in. Did anybody, I came home from church on Sunday, and there was, you ever watch that show called Unsung? One of my favorite shows on television, Unsung. Well, this week, they played Unsung on Switch. Anybody remember Switch? I love it. I mean, I got it on my playlist now. I just love them. The song that they had that was really big in the 70s, I was in high school. Let's see. You'll never be another. They all sang in falsetto. DeBarge. They were DeBarges. But did y'all see that story? Anybody see it? Anybody know who I'm talking about? Switch, DeBarge. Who knows DeBarge? Okay, okay. This is why we're teaching it. They played the Unsung, and if you haven't seen it, go on YouTube and see it. It is amazing. It is such a sad story, though. They're 10 kids, interracial couple, white father, black mom, raised in the 60s, married in the 60s, in Detroit, and he lost his job because he was married to a black woman. He's a truck driver. And he just really, he began abusing, sexually abusing those kids, physically abusing them, and the wife. And the oldest son was Bobby DeBarge, the leader of Switch. Tommy was his younger brother who played bass. And then there's 10 kids, beautiful kids. El DeBarge, Chico DeBarge, for younger people, all these DeBarge kids. And all of them are super, super talented, signed on. Well, his father was sexually molesting him. He ended up, he's dead now, he's dead of AIDS, died I think it was 45 or 39, something like that, 39, really, really young. But those kids, if y'all familiar with the DeBarge family, some of the most talented people on the face of the earth, can't get off of drugs, it is the saddest thing in the world. The son, Bobby, who was molested by his father, the oldest, left home early to get away from his family. And got signed on, got in the group, got signed on. But the group members are saying, you know, he was always confused about his sexuality, never had confidence in who he really was. If you hear this guy's voice, I mean, El DeBarge can't touch him. I started looking it up after I'm watching this, just devastated. His sister, Bunny, the oldest sister who sang in DeBarge, was crying, I mean, just bawling with tears, telling his story, telling their story, and just saying, you know, when he was on his deathbed, they put him in hospice. He's a young guy, in hospice, dying of AIDS, barely nothing, and he, you know, just a bag of bones, and he said he wanted his father to come. You know, Bunny told him, she's bawling, she says, I asked him, plead with him, just forgive him. And she said he started calling out, Dad, who he's forgiving, mom, dad, all these people that had hurt him. And he said the nurses and everybody were pleased, like, let go, Bobby, just let it go. They wanted him to die because he was suffering so bad. He said, not till I talk to my dad. His dad finally came to hospice. It's all on the DeBarge thing, you gotta see it. And she said dad whispered something in his ears. She says, I think he was apologizing. She said, Bobby began speaking in other tongues and then just left. He wouldn't die till then. And they're Pentecostal family. You get what I'm saying? And but that's why we're teaching this. This family, I love DeBarge. I love them. I love their stuff. L was just arrested again in January. You get what I'm saying? It's like their family. It's we preach it on Sunday where all this started, well, in the scriptures you can see it, with Noah and his son Ham. And it just starts a generational thing that's really, really hard to break. And so I've seen it in Shanae can tell you more about this kind of thing, just the devastation it has on kids that are molested. And so that's what we're talking about. We're not talking about this to shame anybody or chase people down. All we want people to do is get free if they want to get free. Amen. So last Wednesday, we talked about just what the Bible says about the times that we're living in and how things will flip in the last days. And they are. Do y'all see, can y'all see this? How our morals have flipped? How when the Bible says evil will be called good and good will be called evil. Do y'all see that? This, to me, now watch, to me it is so plain to see that a baby in a woman's womb is not her but a baby. But do y'all see how when we politicize things like that, somehow it gets blurry. Somehow it gets cloudy. How in the world, if you're a pregnant woman, how do you not think that's you? That's a baby. It's a body. But somehow politicizing it, it gets confusing to people. And so we as believers have to understand what the Bible says and get on the Bible's agenda. You get what I'm saying? And so things are going to get worse and worse and worse and worse where, you know, I pulled it up. I started Googling it because I say things and I want to make sure that but my facts are right. But there are six nations, North Korea, Somalia. There's several countries that it's illegal to have a Bible. You can get arrested in China. They have to have an underground church to preach the gospel. You will get arrested. Just Google it. It's all on there. And so the whole point is to eliminate the truth. And we're raising kids in a generation today that don't know what the Bible says. And so it's a trap. Are y'all with me? So tonight I wanted to talk to y'all just quickly about why the law is important. The law, the scriptures. We're not under the law, but it's necessary and good. We have to understand that so that as believers, here, let's just read it. Turn over in your Bible, first of all. I wrote in my notes here, turn to Leviticus. They mentioned some scriptures here, Andrew did, in Leviticus chapter 9. I just want to make sure you understand this. Leviticus chapter 20. In Leviticus chapter 20 is a chapter that says what is the punishment for these sins. Let me explain this because he talked about it a little bit. Are y'all with me? Turn over your Bible to Leviticus chapter 20. Remember, 18 is where it lists all these sexual sins. And again, why do we have to talk about this? Because this is the environment that we're living in now. It is normal. It is so normal for homosexuality, lesbianism, and particularly, I don't know if you're my age, for kids to see it different than you do, you and I do. You get what I'm saying? It's just a totally different generation. And because prayer and the Bible is trying to be, politicians are trying to take it out of the morals fabric of our nation, and this is why it's so dangerous, and this is why Christians, we have to speak up. We have to say something. We have to, or we'll find ourselves just like Canada and China. We'll find ourselves like these other nations if we don't speak up. When righteous become silent, evil prevails, and it will happen. I'm just telling you, it will happen. It's already happening, because how can anybody argue about, am I yelling? How can anybody argue? Do y'all realize there is a political party that wants to enforce, and when they say we're pro-choice, no. And what they do is put on the news a person who's been raped and say, well, this saved her life. Do you know the percentage of women that actually have abortions that are raped? It's not even 1%. All of the medical, you know, there's a medical danger to the mom, or there's some health danger or for rape or for incest. It's not even 1%. But the news, CNN, will find the one person and put them on the news and parade it like this is the main deal. It is not the main deal. It is not the main deal. The main deal is people are just irresponsible with their sexuality, have sex, and just have an abortion. You get what I'm saying? That's not right. That's not how you, come on, y'all. Y'all get that. But look how it's, this is even offending people right now. Do you get what I'm saying? My whole point here is that morals have flipped. For a party to stand up and fight, see, this is real to me because I get, you know, Trey is in Atlanta. Our son is in Atlanta. And y'all know they just passed that thing in Georgia that says, it's real harsh, real strong, and they did go too far in that. I get their point. They're trying to get it to Supreme Court, but they said not for any reason. No, you should be able to have it for rape and all that kind of stuff, which is such a minute, small percentage anyway. But here's the pressure that the homosexual and gay lobbyists put. Y'all remember here with the NCAA. what they do is, watch this, with abortion, they said, okay, well, the whole, you know, Atlanta is the second hub for the entertainment movie industry now in our country. L.A., then Atlanta. It's gotten huge. That's why Tyler Perry is there. It's huge. It is a mecca there. Why? Because the cost of living is so low. They passed this bill. The entertainment industry said, we're leaving. Now, that doesn't affect, like, it doesn't affect stars who make millions and millions of dollars because they'll just go wherever. They fly him. They fly Trey to where he wants to go. You get what I'm saying? But for the grips, for the lighting, for all the people that have jobs, they're going, why are they doing this to us? The regular people who look like me and you who need a job, they feel this pressure. So what do they do? Well, don't do that. It's just like here with the NCAA. Let's put pressure on them. They won't let us let the men go into the women's bathroom and let the men go into the women's and the women's go into the men. They aren't going to fight about that. We're taking the NCAA. Do you get it? They hit the state and in their pocket. So what do? Let's get rid of that governor and put in a new governor who will let us do it. And everybody's happy because it's money. But what they're doing is they're sliding in their agenda that is contrary to the Bible based on us people not speaking up. We can put pressure. Okay. All right. Let me get back here. Y'all get what I'm saying? Now listen. God, I'm going to preach a whole series on what I'm talking about. So I'm not going to. I get stuck here because it makes me so angry that we as Christians don't speak up. And I got the pressure. Come on. I got it. You get it? People are mad at me. Because people at this church got mad at me. Well, I'm pro-choice. I said, so what? I said, but I'm for your choice, but I'm also for a baby's choice. They can't talk. Come on, y'all. It doesn't take it. This is so simple. This is so simple. This should not even be in the government. This is common sense. If there was a dog up here pregnant and you started trying to rip the babies, the Humane Society would arrest you. You can't do that to a dog. But they want to legislate it and make us think it's all right to do it to a woman who's 9 months pregnant. That's sick. Do y'all get that? But somehow, do you get it? But somehow it gets so politicized that it becomes debatable and questionable. That's not questionable. But do you get it? Our morals have flipped. Where we don't even think, that's a babe, that's a life. If there was a pregnant woman up here and you come walked up here and punched her, come on, everybody in this church would jump on you and start kicking you. Isn't that right? But if we showed what actually happened in those and see Christians, you won't go see what really happens. Like in that Christian movie that came out, won't go see that kind of stuff. And it's what's really happening. Planned Parenthood don't care about the health of a woman. They care about making money on abortions. I had a meeting this, God, let me get back here. I had a meeting today with Love Life and Justin Reeder, and he said, you know, in Charlotte, they had one major abortion clinic. Justin bought the property right next door to it, and it's awesome, right? Now the city council has come against them and said, we got to create some kind of bill that keeps them from protesting out there, keeps them from singing. And they have. There's a bunch of people. Watch it online. There's a bunch of people who are, they're people who have money. People who have a lot of money are going, come on, y'all see that? Y'all see that government? The people that are standing up there saying, you better let us have these abortions, you better let us kill these babies, they have millions and millions of dollars. And if we sit down and just let them do it, it's going to happen. Are y'all listening to me? Well, so they've raised up something in the city of Charlotte and they said that's trying to block them from coming out and praying and trying to open up four new Planned Parenthoods or abortion clinics. It's a real fight. Are y'all listening to me? Come on, somebody. All right, I just want believers to be believers, man, and find out what's really going on. What's really going on? Amen? And And if black lives really mattered, if black lives really mattered to the Black Lives Matter people, abortion would be the number one on their agenda. Because that's where more black people are being killed than anything. More than in the streets of Chicago, that's out of the chain. More than any street in any ghetto anywhere, black on black crime is the biggest that kills black people, but abortion kills much more blacks than black on black crime. Not cops. Don't believe the media, man. Don't believe the hype. Okay, where was I? I was in Leviticus chapter 20. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. It's what we don't know, all right? Okay, here we are in Leviticus chapter 20. I'm sorry, y'all. By the way, thanks for giving me telling me to go to, where's that place I went to eat last Wednesday? Say it again. No. Where'd I go Wednesday? Bonefish. Good God, Jesus, I'm filling them again. Look here, Leviticus chapter 20. Watch this, y'all. For everyone who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. This is in the law. He has cursed his father or his mother, his blood shall be upon him. Next. The man who commits adultery with another man's wife, he who commits adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. You get it? So it wasn't just for homosexuals. This is what the law reads like. The man who lies with his father's wife has uncovered his father's nakedness. Both of them shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. Next. If a man lies with his daughter-in-law, both of them shall surely be put to death. They have committed perversion. Their blood shall be upon them. Y'all get the feel of the law here? So many people say, well, hold up. If it says that you don't preach a whole thing. Preach all that the Bible says. And many people, many believers don't understand what the law is and the purpose of the law, right? If a man lies with a male as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. And the law sounds harsh, but do y'all get what God's trying to protect them from? DeBarge situations. From kids being stuck on drugs, broke, can't figure out who they are in life. God, watch that DeBarge thing. Watch that switch thing. It'll blow you away. If a man marries a woman or her and her mother, it is wickedness. They shall be burned with fire, both he and they, that there may be no wickedness among you. Next, if a man mates with an animal. Now, that sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? But when I was growing up, it sounded ridiculous for a man to be with a man. And it was ridiculous. And you didn't get in trouble for calling somebody names if they were. You didn't get in trouble for that? That was like normal. Do y'all get how things have changed? So years ago when they said, you know what, the day's going to come where men will be marrying men and women will be marrying women. We were like, no way. That is crazy. You think that's crazy? Mm-mm. It's just steps away. If a man mates with an animal, he should. In fact, the internet is crazy. You can see about anything on the internet. In nations, this is going on. Praise the Lord. If a man mates with an animal, he shall surely be put to death, and you shall kill the animal too. Kill the animal. You done jacked him up. Tow up the animal. Now kill him too. If a woman approaches any animal and mates with it, you shall kill the woman and the animal. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood is upon them. Defile the daggone animal. Is that the last one? Yes, sorry. All right, so what is this? What in the world? Do we kill people today? No. But people who don't know the Bible, who don't understand the Bible, say, well, see, this can't be valid for today because that's not applicable. No. Do you understand? I want to explain to you why there must be a law and why we, as people of grace, don't live under the law, but we must know what it is. Turn over to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1, I'm going to read verse 8 through 11 in the NLT. Are y'all with me? If there's no rule or standard or absolute rule, if there's no law, no known law, people will set their own, the culture will set the environment and set the standard. If there's no law, the culture will set it. Well, everybody's doing this and it becomes normal. Come on, y'all see it on TV. Can y'all turn on a series now without seeing homosexuality and lesbianism? It's like regular. It's normal in every series. Have y'all seen that? Commercials. Dang. It becomes normal. Now watch. And see, that's the whole point. It has to become normal. We're just good, regular people like everybody. And they are. But it's something deadly that the devil is using to destroy humanity. Come on, somebody. All right. Here we go. We know that the law is good when used correctly. So there's a use for the law. All right. For the law was not intended for people who do what is right. All right. It is for people who are lawless and rebellious, who are ungodly and sinful, who consider nothing sacred and defile what is holy, who kill their father or their mother and commit other murders. Next. The law is for people who are sexually immoral or who practice homosexuality or are slave traders, liars, promise breakers, or who do anything else that contradicts the wholesome teaching that comes from the glorious good news, who comes from the gospel, entrusted to me, by our blessed God. Do you see the point of the law? It is to set the framework for what is right and wrong. Do you get it? If there's no framework, if your kids don't know what's right or wrong, the culture will tell them what's right or wrong. The society will set the standard for them. And that's why in church, it's normal for people to shack up, to have premarital sex. It is like normal. People get offended if I say something contrary. But we are the pillars of truth. We have to state truth. Amen. We have to. And you have to tell truth to your kids. Because if you don't tell them, the world will tell them the exact opposite. Are y'all with me? All right, turn over in your Bible. Let's look at this other. Turn over to Romans chapter 3, verse 19. I'm going to read through 28. All right, how's my time? Yeah. Are y'all in Romans chapter? I'm reading in the NLT, by the way, just for simplicity. Obviously, the law applies to those whom it was given. It was given to the Jews, right? It was never given actually to the world. It was given not to the Gentiles. It was given to the Jews. For its purpose is to keep people from having excuses and to show that the entire world is guilty before God. The purpose of the law is to let everybody know they're sinners. All right? For no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. Keep doing right doesn't make you right with God. But knowing the law lets you know you're not right with God. All right? For no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. The law simply shows us how sinful we are. Right? But now God has shown us a way to be made right with him without keeping the requirements of the law, as was promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago. Now, I just got to make sure, and I think I'll show you some verses here, but when people, oftentimes people read that and go, oh, good, well, I don't have to do, I get born again, now I can do anything that I want. That is so wrong. Let's just read on. I think he explains it. Verse 22, we are made right with God by doing what? By placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. Next, 23, for everyone has sinned, we all fall short of God's glorious standard. All right? Yet God freely and graciously declares that we are righteous. He did this through Jesus Christ when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. How did he free us from the penalty of our sins? He took on the death that was due us. So when you read in the law, kill this person, kill this, stone this. He did. It happened to Jesus, so it wouldn't happen to happen to humanity. What a good deal. All right? So God still feels the same about sin, but he punished Jesus for our sin. Instead of you having to die, he died. But he said, here's the escape. The key is you got to believe in him. Y'all see the great exchange? For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. There it is. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. This sacrifice shows that God was being fair when he held back and did not punish those who sinned in times past. Y'all get that? For he was looking ahead and including them in what he would do in this present time. God did this to demonstrate whose righteousness? his righteousness, for he himself is fair and just, and he declares sinners to be right in his sight when they believe in Jesus. When you accept Jesus, says, that's good for me. You now, he died the death for you. You now live for him. Can we boast then that we have done anything to be accepted by God? No, because our acquittal is not based on obeying the law. It's based on faith. So we are made right with God through faith and not obeying the law. So I just want to make sure you're clear on this. The law is there and there has to be a standard. But if you did everything right, still God is saying, you're not right with me unless you receive Jesus. He took the penalty. Why? Because we're all born into sin. All right? Okay. So we are made right with God through faith and not obeying the law. Go on over to Romans chapter 5. Let's start at verse 12 and through 14. 12 through 14. You all right? Look here. Just look in your Bible. When Adam sinned, sin entered the world. When Adam sinned, Adam's sin brought death. So death spread to who? Every single person. For everyone. And then everyone sinned. Because they're born into sin, everyone sinned. Yes, people sinned even before the law was given. But it was not counted as sin because there was not yet any law to break. Ah, get this. Still everyone died. Hold up. People were sinning because Adam put every human being in sin and they were dying. And still everyone died. He said, but there was no, back up to that verse right before this. Yes, people sinned even before the law was given, but it was not counted as sin. Y'all get what he's saying right there. When there was no law, there was no way to tell them and hold them accountable for what they were doing. So they were sinning and dying as a result of it, but no one could say, well, this is wrong or that is wrong. Now, I have to go into too much detail right there. When you have real relationship with God, like Joseph did, Joseph, right? Son of Israel, a.k.a. Jacob. Remember the woman was trying to get him to have sex, Pharaoh's wife. He didn't. He said, how can I sin against God? There was no law that said thou shalt not fornicate or commit adultery. How did he know that? His relationship with God. His relation. So when you have real relationship with God, not just friend, not just going to church, but real genuine relationship, that's what's going to change your life, y'all. It's a real, genuine relationship. Daily communion. I got to show you all that because that's real. It's relationship. He didn't. There was no law written. Moses wasn't alive yet. But he knew, this ain't right. I'm not doing it. You got it? Okay. Yes, people sinned even before the law was given, but it was not counted as sin because they were not yet, there was not any law to break. Okay, read that one. Still, everyone died from this time, Adam to Moses, even those who did not disobey explicit commandment of God, as Adam did. He said, everybody was born into sin. They were all dying, and even when because there was no law. There was no law. They didn't know they were sin. It's like this. Example I like to use. Go to chapter 6, whatever my next verses are. Chapter 6. If out on that freeway out there, there's no signs, you can go as fast as you want. Well, let's say there is a sign. It's 60 miles per hour, but all the signs are knocked down. So what happens? Everybody's just, oh, I don't know, speed limit. Everybody's just driving as fast as they want. Can they give you a ticket? No. There's no sign. Are people going to have accidents? Yes. Do you get why? Because they're speeding. But nobody's going to get a ticket because there's law isn't posted. Y'all know that? And that's what he's saying. People were sinning and they were dying, but there was no law to tell them this is why. So the law is necessary. Kids, people have to know what's right and wrong, or the culture will set the standard. Are y'all with me? Romans chapter 6, verse 12. And that's what's happening. That's what's happening because Christians are being silent. Christians don't say anything, or they do say something, but they've been duped. I could say so much. I could say so much, but y'all ain't ready yet. Y'all ain't ready yet. I found that out last week. Y'all ain't ready yet. Y'all are not ready yet. I can't. Mom, y'all ain't ready? Y'all ain't ready yet. No, you're not. Let's move on. I promise you, you're not. I can promise you this. All right, y'all pulling it out of me. I'm going to make me say some stuff here I'm going to regret. But I can tell you this. Like I told you last week, I don't like the president's personality that we have now. I do not. Come on, somebody. Bottom line. But I'll tell you this. Most of us would not have liked Jesus either. If Jesus could tweet, his tweets would sound like this. Oh, you vipers. Your sons of your children, all right, but children of your father, the devil. If we took Matthew and put it in a tweet, y'all would be like, hold up, Jesus. Trust me. And typically what we're reading is not what he tweets. We're reading the narrative that's been extracted and put on CNN. Okay, let me just come back over here. All right, I'm just telling you. Here's the problem. Can I just talk to y'all? Shanae ain't here. She's probably watching right now. No, I think they're still upset. Let me tell y'all. I'm not going to do it. I'm not. Y'all ain't ready yet. I got to tell y'all some books first before I... Y'all ain't ready yet. You still on the plantation. I'm just telling you. Many are still stuck on a plantation, and you don't know yet. I can't tell you. I gotta build up to that. I got a whole series to show y'all about that. Yeah. Romans 6:12. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Pastor Joe. Keep me focused. I want to so bad, because do not let sin control the way you live. Thank you, Joe. Do not give in to sinful desires. Next. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have new life, so use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Oh my God, y'all. Do you get why the devil wants us having premarital sex? So he can ruin your marriage. If you really are in love with somebody. He wants to ruin your marriage because he wants, if you start having sex before marriage, God doesn't get to build the relationship on what it should be built on. And what it should be built on is character, trust, God, faith, on all these other components, and sex is like icing on the cake. And so it makes it imbalanced. It misprioritizes things. You get it? So your relationship, you should be so in love with each other and looking forward to sex, but you've already done that. And you've caused this bonding to already occur. Without building, oh God, I can't wait to start teaching on this. I'm going to start teaching on the dating and what happened. What happened in the Bible days, gosh, is there was a dowry. Am I saying it right? And the guy who wanted to date your daughter, he had to come up and say, I want to marry your daughter. He had to bring some money. Why? Because for the first year of their marriage, He didn't work. They had to live on something. And they lived on that dowry. What would happen if they got married? And he made the claim and said, hey, she wasn't a virgin. Well, they had to show proof of that. Show proof. And if she was a virgin and those sheets had blood on it, he now had to pay the father more. Why? Because you shamed a virgin of Israel, and now there's shame on her. And if she gets married again, she needs some more money. And what it did was give that virgin value. When you give your sex away early, you don't realize the gift that you are. You're a gift. You are a prize to a man, and he should see you as a prize. And the devil wants to ruin that. He wants to take that value out of that gift that you have, that gift of virginity that you have for each other to seal. And we've got to stand up for that. And we've got to say it to our kids. And I have to say it to this congregation. I'm going to do a whole series just about this whole dating phenomena from the scripture. So we understand. And this is why the Bible says, honor your mother and your father. Because fathers knew, and parents know now. Parents know. Parents know when the boy walks up. They can tell just to let him talk for a little bit. Mm-hmm. Already know what's going on. Already know what's going on. I know kids don't think we do, but we do. Why? Because we've been there already. Oh, yeah, okay. Y'all got me to digress again. I'm all over the place. And let me get out of here. I want some bonefish. All right, do y'all get this? This is so important. It's so important that we get this because this is why marriages are falling apart. It's built on the wrong foundation. It's built wrong. And the devil knows it, and that's why he pushes this agenda of premarital sex and this agenda of sexual immorality because it's so connected to our spirit. Your genitals are connected to your heart. And that's raw. But it's right. Sin is no longer your master. Where in the heck was I? For you are no longer under the requirements of the law. Think if we did this right, y'all. If we did this right, and we came as virgins to our marriage, and we had nothing. All we do is have our whole future to look forward to working on that gift of sex. The world says, test it out before you get it. God says, no. I don't want anybody else for you to focus on. Nothing to look compared to. You work this and with me in the center, but God in the center, not Lee. God in the center. You get what I'm saying? I'm trying to talk like God would talk. Yeah. God right in the center. It can be the most beautiful life. The most beautiful relationship. And that's what you want. You want a relationship that is so, you know, I'm so in love with my wife. I cherish her. And to see a child that came from both of you and to watch God bless your life beyond what you could produce, it makes you so grateful. It makes you so grateful. And y'all, it is an awesome thing. We have to teach this thing, and honestly, I'm my heart's broken over people getting mad about it. But the truth is, why it sounds so crazy. Can I tell y'all this? Good God. When I first went into the ministry, y'all know this. I came out of banking, and I told the first services. I went to Orlando, Florida. My friend, good friend, Pastor Clint Brown, had called me, and I went to Orlando. But I'd been out of church for a while. God is so gracious. You get what I'm saying? I didn't like the church that I was going to in Columbus, Ohio, and I just kind of stopped going. You get what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying. Don't act like you don't. Well, when Clint had called me and I went down to his church and I'm in Florida, and I went there and I'm watching the service, and I'm like, these people are crazy. Because they were just on fire for God. And I was sitting there, but I was so worldly that everything they were doing was foreign to me. I was saved, but I was worldly. And why things like sexual promiscuity are so rampant in the church is because we're worldly. And we're so discipled by the world and not by the word that it's normal to have sex. It's normal to be doing stuff that the world does, and God says, don't let that be named among you. Why? Because you're defiling what I've already got planned for you. You're missing out on the great life. There's nothing better than a great, holy marriage. To be in love with someone that loves God. Nobody can love you if they don't love God. If they don't know the love of God, they can't. And it's just a matter of time before that thing erupts and it just crumbles and falls apart. But if we as parents and believers don't celebrate and really, I mean, you know, really parent our kids. And the Bible tells how to do it, man. It tells how to do it, but it requires a respect for mom and dad, even when you don't understand it. And that's why the Bible carried that commandment over into the new covenant. Because this, if parents don't freaking have good sense, kids sure ain't going to have good sense. I'm spending too much time on this side. Let me come over on this side. You get what I'm saying? If we don't stand up for what's right, our kids don't have a chance in hell in this earth. They don't stand a chance. If we don't preach this thing and teach it right, our kids don't have a chance. They are going to be devoured out here. Are y'all listening to me? I need y'all with me on this. I need y'all to follow, to be with me and not get mad when I say abortion is wrong. And lesbianism and homosexuality is wrong because it's a deeper thing. I'm not attacking anybody, but I'm telling you, it goes much further than what you all see on the surface. There's a deeper agenda that is an attack on our morals, fiber of this nation. All right. Let me take a deep breath here again. I think I'm done. Shoot, it's pointless for me to read on to that. Close your Bible. That's enough. Good God, I could read on and on. Y'all get that? I'm sorry, y'all. If my wife is watching, she's going to fuss at me at home. She fussed at me last week. She said, well, you were a little fired up. Are you all right? I said, I am fired up. I'm passionate about this. And y'all, we didn't do it right. We didn't. You get it? So God, there's restoration for God. But we want to save people from making the wrong choices. Come on, somebody. You get what I'm saying? My parents, but we didn't. I didn't have a church like this. And my mom and dad didn't know what I know. You get what I'm saying? So don't. Well, you didn't. Yeah, because I didn't know any better. You know better. Come on, somebody.